So the scene is set very well in verses 1 and 2 of that story, where we're told this was a time of spiritual decline that they faced. And that's shown in subtle ways in the comparison between Samuel and Eli. In those days, the priesthood was an inherited office, so usually it would run in families, whereas prophets were called individually. So the likes of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jonah, Daniel, all these have their call story, which are different, but they've got similar elements in them. The priesthood, on the other hand, was passed down father to son. So Eli's sons were there, but they'd gone off the rails. And if you read chapter 2, you discover that they were sleeping around, they were generally taking advantage of their position. So it was a time of spiritual decline in the nation because of that poor leadership and corruption. And the writer paints a picture poetically with the opening verses. In those days, the word of the Lord was rarely heard. There was no outpouring of vision. Eli's eyes were dim. His sight was failing. The lamp of God over the Ark of the Covenant was just about to go out. It's a sad picture of an old man who, perhaps because of his own weak leadership, was leaving the nation in a sorry state to the care of sons who were not fit for the job. And it is one of those mysteries that spiritual fervor and life seems to ebb and flow. And if you look at the history of the church, that has happened again and again. Periods when there's great spiritual life and excitement and revivals and lots of vibrancy, and periods when no one seems to give God a second thought. And we are going through such a time at the moment. Just as in Eli's case, we could maybe identify a couple of reasons. One might be our own weak efforts. We can't beat ourselves up too much about it, but it may partly be our fault as an established church. Because I think one of the things this passage points us to is a religion which cares more about preserving the institution, just keeping the tradition going, than about life-enhancing good news. And if all the church offers people today is a chance to be part of an establishment, to keep it going, to hand it on, that doesn't appeal to people who are time poor and maybe not that interested anyway. It's got to be more than that. And as a church, we're in a transition between that, what you might call inherited faith, to one of a call to something new. The challenge is from maintenance to mission, really. Because there's no longer an interest in just keeping the institution going the way it once was. At one time, people in a place like Pitlochry or Dunkeld saw the church and they saw a purpose for it, even if they weren't that keen. But they would see its good and its reasons. One of the surveys done on that Radio 4 program was reported on a couple of weeks ago to say that more people now in Britain think religion does more harm than good. That's the reality of the situation we are in. So the church has got to be more than just keeping an institution going for the sake of it. It's got to be about hearing a word for our living, hearing good news, hearing something life-enhancing, something that calls us to serve a kingdom. Israel, under Eli's sons, was in maintenance mode. They were just keeping the institution alive. They weren't hearing the living word of God the way Samuel did. Were we guilty of that at one time? I think, if we're honest, we have to say yes. You know, the high and the heyday of the Church of Scotland in the 40s and 50s, maybe we thought, we're all puffed up. We are the established kirk. We have a place and we're important. And we maybe lost track a bit. But the other side of it is, yeah, don't beat ourselves up too much about it. Because the reality is we face a society which is so different. When God, because of materialism and skepticism, doesn't get a look in. It can't be that God is more interested in one generation than another, but we're not receptive, we're not hearing the voice of God. The spirit of the age means people just don't listen. Do you remember that slogan in buses paid for by the Humanist Society? There probably isn't a God, now enjoy your life. As if to say, God will not make you enjoy your life, first of all. He'll take the joy out of it. So forget that nonsense and eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That's where people are at. And so a large part of the fault surely lies with the response of men and women. We may turn to God in a crisis, but we're not that interested most of the time. And God's solution in the case of Eli and Samuel is to find another way through. If the old plan isn't going to work, then God will find someone new to be a leader and find a new way of doing it. And I think we can see similar things happening. There are green shoots in some surprising places, in parts of the world which are burgeoning, whereas the light's faded in the parts where it was strong at one time. So if the old pattern's not working, God works in different ways. So what do we do then? I think there's a parallel in both Samuel and Eli, because while the picture of decline is painted, there are subtle touches about Samuel and about Eli too, and his flawed faithfulness, if you like. Samuel, dedicated as a child, slept beside the Ark of the Covenant, the physical symbol of God's presence. And it was in that situation that he heard God's voice. In other words, it was in the atmosphere and ethos of faith, which he didn't yet understand. It says that in the passage. He had not yet known the Lord. And yet, God got to him in that setting. And many folk will say to you, I went to church once, it meant nothing to me. Well, of course it wouldn't. Because if you just dip your toe in the water a couple of times, you're not going to understand it. It takes effort. If you want to understand music or sport or literature, you've got to immerse yourself in it. And so with faith, you cannot just throw the Bible open and see, that doesn't work, I'm leaving that alone. You've got to give it effort and hard work. So faith requires that, and Samuel is there in that ethos, and he hears God's voice. And likewise, for those of us who do come to church, I think there's a lesson too, that worship and faith, the life of faith, will not always be ecstatic. It will not always be swinging from the chandeliers, but there's a faithfulness required. Gillespie McMillan, who was minister of St. Giles and died recently, once said something he said a lot of very pertinent things, but he said, going to church is more like mince and tatties at home than meringues and cream at your granny's. In other words, yes, there are times when it's wonderful and ecstatic and exciting, but there's a lot of faithfulness required and devotion, like Samuel stuck at it until God's voice breaks through. And I guess Samuel's experience is more akin to ours, that we have been introduced to faith, we've been brought along, we've been perhaps brought by parents or grandparents in our day, and then God's voice breaks through to us. But then we have to work out how we break out into others who've not had that. And Eli, this old man who has made mistakes and whose family is going off the rails, has to be admired too, because he remains honest and open and faithful and still looking for God to do something, even if it's not what he wants. And even if there's an element of judgment, which there is, in what happens. He says to Samuel, "Samuel, tell me what God said. I can take it." I don't know about you, I'm wary of people who say that. When people say to you, tell me what you think of what I did, I can take the truth, you know, don't worry about me. And you know full well, really, they can't take it, and they're going to take the huff if you do tell them what you think. So I'm very wary about doing that. But Eli persists and says, tell me what God said. And Samuel tells him, and it's a word of judgment. And Eli's response is, the Lord must do what the Lord must do. That's a big heart and a big spirit to accept what has to be done, to accept the change. So maybe one reason God's call is not heeded today in society, because it is a challenge to be different, to hear the truth about ourselves, and we don't really want to hear that. People think they're all right as they are, so we don't want to be told where we've gone wrong or where we might change. But it does require turning from self to face up to where things are and where we've gone wrong, and accept that God knows better, and be faithful. Continue in prayer. Continue in worship. Stick to it. And hopefully, one day we hear God saying, calling us in a new direction. Prophets don't always get a good reaction like Eli gave Samuel. The task of the prophet's not easy. It's not easy in a community to go from maintenance to mission. How do we do that? And how do we work out what to do? But there is a need for faithfulness, to stick to our faith, to our devotions and prayers, and be ready to respond and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening."